It's quite easy in the start of your career to sort of say, oh, you know, I've got a bad boss or this happened, or, you know, you can blame everyone else. But at the end of the day, your development is up to you.
Welcome to Modern Business Operations, where we talk with leaders about how ops is adapting to our modern world.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Modern Business Operation. My name is Sagi. I'm the CEO and founder of Tonkin. And today I have the pleasure of hosting Tanya Seri, the president and co-founder of Procarious. Tanya, thank you so much for joining me today.
My pleasure. Great to be with you.
Well, I heard great things about Procarious. You know, you're an online community and learning platform for procurement and supply chain professionals. But, you know, I don't like to just talk about the tagline and, you know, description. I would love to hear, you know, a little bit of your story. Maybe that's kind of where we can start, how you got to start it, but also how you got to procurement and, you know, supply chain. It's always interesting. Yeah. And I know there's other things, you know, you're part of the founder chairman of the faculty and the source. And, you know, maybe tell us a little bit about kind of the origin story.
The origin story. Well, I guess first how I got into procurement, the first 10 years of my career, I was in marketing and I had some very cool, interesting jobs. I worked in London for the Walt Disney Company, for their international television department. And, you know, I helped take a number of companies public and do all their communications. But when I came to do my MBA, I got the opportunity to go to the US and went to Penn State and went to a big school that specialized in operations and logistics. And I fell in love with procurement. So that was the starting point back in Pittsburgh a few years ago, a couple of decades ago. And then the journey has really gone from there. So, and led me eventually to start a number of businesses that specialize in procurement. I'm a bit of a procurement entrepreneur, I think you could call me, because I have started three businesses in procurement. But as we know, procurement's changed a lot in the last 20 or 30 years. So my businesses have continued to change with it.
That's fantastic. It's always incredible how people end up with procurement. Is always, you know, the statement of you never choose to be in procurement, but, you know, you find yourself and you fall in love with it. Yes. So maybe let's talk a little bit about, you know, Procarious and a little bit of what is the angle on that, you know, in this case?
Yeah. Well, look, as I said, you know, procurement's changed a lot in the last 20 or 30 years. Business has changed a lot. And the way we learn has changed a lot. Well, you're probably a bit too young, but, you know, 30 years ago, we'd go to school, we'd sit in a classroom, we'd get these thick textbooks, these big folders, and, you know, we'd work through materials, whereas, and the basics of your views are in operations, the basics of procurement stayed the same for 20 or 30 years. But now things are changing so quickly that we have to adapt a more agile way of learning. And we have to learn from each other. So this is where Procurious is really catering for the next generation of procurement professionals. There's bite-sized learning on the latest topics, and we're learning from each other. So it's very much collaborative learning, community-based learning. So we like to think we're sort of been one step ahead of where the profession's going and that we can keep everyone one step ahead.
Well, I think there's no better time than now, I feel like, where things are changing. You're absolutely correct. You know, the last 20, 30 years, you can't compare even each decade. You know, within a decade, there's multiple changes. But it feels like in the last 2 years, it's within every month. So how do you guys, it's just mind-blowing. So how do you guys go about that? Or like what is amazing stories or examples you've kind of seen?
Yeah. Well, look, the great thing about my job is that I'm talking to procurement leaders around the world all the time. So I'm literally on the road all the time. Next week, I'll be in Abu Dhabi. Then 2 weeks after that, I'm in London. You know, I was in New York a month ago, and now I'm talking to you in California, which is fantastic. And so it gives me the opportunity to really understand the challenges that people are facing and what their learning needs are. And of course, we can't have a conversation today without talking about AI. And, you know, of course, this is probably one of the biggest changes we've seen in the last 2 years. So I guess my job is, how do we equip procurement leaders with, you know, encouraging them to stay up to date with AI and how their skill set is going to have to change over the next, well, right now. You know, people have to be changing right now and adopting and using and testing AI and understanding how it works. So that's probably one of the biggest changes and what we're really working on with our community.
Do you feel like, from your guys, what you're seeing, do you feel like procurement professionals are more open for sort of like taking this first step into learning this new world? Because, you know, I've, like you've mentioned, I have a lot of, you know, opportunities to talk to a lot of different industry leaders in a lot of different departments. And it's not, I can tell you, it's not one fit all. You know, different departments are more curious, you know, and kind of building on your name of being curious, right? Like more curious. How do you feel like, you know, what you've seen in the last, you know, year, the procurement professional around kind of jumping on this opportunity?
Yeah. Well, just to be clear, all the research we're doing is saying that most people are still in the early stages of reviewing this. So if you're listening and you haven't started, don't worry, it's not too late. But what a piece of advice one of our, you know, trainers in our program has put forward is that you should give your team as much as sort of a day a week to really start testing these tools and trialing them and coming back to you and saying, hey, here's a use case I think that we could do. And of course, it's not just about the profession, but, you know, we're dealing with all our suppliers and we procurement professionals and operations professionals should have an expectation that their suppliers are coming to them with use cases. So we really have to drive our supply base to adopt AI as well in this current pressure. It's always pressure for procurement to reduce costs. So yeah, that's really probably the most interesting part right now is how do you work with your suppliers to partner and actually drive costs down through AI? And how do you capture that value that's delivered and share it between the two parties? So I think the biggest focus right now probably with companies is investing in their products and what they offer the market. So I think the first step for procurement and operations professionals is to actually talk more to your suppliers about the value they're going to deliver you through their products. Because I think the back-end functional enhancements will come later because companies always invest in what they're offering their customers first. Well, they should do to stay competitive. So I think that's important. And you know, we had the co-head of Barclays Bank speak at one of our events. And, you know, he said that this is probably the first time in history with the technological advancement where it's a big capital investment. So, you know, that really means the boards are going to have to be making these decisions about where they invest in AI and how, because, you know, we're talking, you know, significant amounts of cash here. So it's going quickly, but there's also, you know, we need cash, we need to look after our customers. And the big thing is governance. You know, we're all saying you've got to keep a human in the loop. I think a lot of boards are worried about the governance side of things. But having said that, it's going to move very quickly and everyone should be, you know, exploring and understanding this new change.
No, I think that's great. I think, you know, where I wanted to kind of go with it next, and you started talking about that enterprise side of it. So maybe we can double click into that before going back to sort of like the personal level, right? Because you can think about efficiency and productivity kind of slightly different, where efficiency is the process level and the company level and how much you invest versus sort of the final outcome, versus the productivity is a little bit on a personal level and kind of how productive are you. But if we stay with enterprises for a second, you really, I think, touch an important point, which is procurement kind of play two roles here. They're very similar like any other department where they need to look internally of how do we leverage this technology better? Is there an unlock here where we can do a lot, you know, more strategic work, a lot more volume, a lot more high quality without adding more cost? But at the same time, that's part of their job in general for the rest of the company, right?
Yeah, that's right. Make them more efficient, yes.
Yeah, so maybe you can talk a little bit about, you know, I know part of your guys', you know, services and work you do is, or even you personally, is just helping and advising, you know, those enterprises. So you touched a little bit about it, but, you know, comes a professional you know, senior or maybe C-level or SVP or VP level comes to you and ask, you know, what should we do? How should we think about it? What would be your kind of like elevator advice?
Pitch me. I would say, and I say this with my own team, I've been saying it for a while, we need to unchain ourselves from the desk. You know, anything that is keeping us at our desk, and, you know, people say rules-based repetitive tasks should be done by AI. So we really need to automate whatever we can that is a repetitive. And, you know, what I've also said for a few years is, you know, the more we adopt AI and technology, actually, the more human we have to become, because we actually need to get unchained from our desks and we need to go out and see our suppliers. We need to see what they're doing. We need to see the inefficiencies. We need to go and, you know, spend time in the plants and the operations. And hopefully a few of your listeners today will be laughing because I hope they've seen their procurement partners a lot. But this is one of the big opportunities is, and was delighted you invited me, is for procurement and operations to work more closely together. So if we can automate, you know, the rules-based repetitive tasks and get away from our desk, we can actually sit down together and talk about a lot of the things that are super important. You know, yesterday I was talking on a webcast about cybersecurity. And one of the biggest problems is everyone's still working in silos on the threats. And, you know, procurement and operations really need to work together on these third-party risks. We need to work together on how our suppliers are bringing these new technologies to us and how we negotiate and embed and partner with them. So I'm not sure if that answers your question, but I mean, I think we should embrace getting away from our desk because there's a lot of things that are keeping us chained there. And, you know, we're doing these boring, repetitive tasks and we can get out and actually, you know, drive some outcomes and some values in the knowledge that our day job is being completed.
This episode is brought to you by Tonkin. Tonkin is the operating system for business operations, providing businesses with the building blocks to orchestrate any process with no code or change management required. Contact us at Tonkin.com to learn how you can build complex processes fast.
Yeah, absolutely. Another interesting part that you started talking about, right, which is interesting to me to hear your thoughts too, that the immediate respond I felt like with how organizations are looking at suppliers that are using AI, and for a good reason, is what is the privacy and infosec implications, right? And I think that's important. What I'm curious about is how soon, or if at all, do you think category managers and procurement professionals are gonna start looking at suppliers and rate them? How we had the, you know, impact, environmental impact, and, you know, diversity impact, and bunch of other kind of metrics that
modern slavery.
Yeah, exactly. Where you look at where you judge supplier not only by their product and offering, but also the way they operate.
Yes.
I wonder if you think we'll see a soon future where how much a supplier actually leverage AI or, you know, efficiency from their side as a measurement of, you know, giving extra points, if you will, for a supplier that does that versus not.
Yeah. And I think, you know, this is where technology is going to help us a lot, because when we select a supplier now, there are so many more variables than what there were 30 years ago. You know, these are very complex decisions, and you also have to have a lot of visibility into your supply chain, as we've learned particularly in the last 10 years. So, once again, these sourcing decisions that we're making are a lot more complex because there's a lot more for us to think about. So technology can help us with that. But also at the end of the day, being human and having that level of trust with your supplier, because trust is probably still one of the most important things in business. And the last 10 years has shown us that relationships are really what mattered when, you know, the world was closed down due to COVID. You know, and supply chain problems are resolved through trust and relationships. So, you know, I think we need the technology. It's going to help us a lot. But then we also need the technology to help us keep up with these decisions. I guess the other dynamic that's happening a lot with you know, the kinds of decisions you're making is the different regions of the world now are really evolving to have very different views on these topics. So that's making it even more interesting for companies because, you know, different parts of the world have different views on ESG. So you might work in a global company and you might have to have a different strategy for each region, which is a new development as well. So it keeps us on our toes.
Exactly. Well, I think that's a great segue to that other part of, you know, interest for everyone talking about this topic is not only how the efficiency is, you know, as a department or company leader, but on the individual level, right? If you are listening, or if you are like, you know, mentoring or suggesting help to an individual for their own career, how do people need to think about AI in your perspective, in your experience, in procurement? Is that scary? Do they need to embrace it? How do they prepare for it for their own personal job?
They need to be curious. You know, that's the thing. You need to learn about all of these things. You know, you don't have to be an AI expert, but you have to, you know, understand how others are using it, what the fundamentals are. You know, it's critical, just like you have to understand what modern slavery is and what net zero is, and scope 3 is part of that. So, you know, that's the exciting thing about being in procurement and operations as well, I'm sure, is that, you know, you have to be on top of these things because these roles are at the intersection of all these issues, which makes it, I think, one of the best professions in the world to be in. And, you know, as I said, you don't have to be an expert in all these areas, but you do have to know enough to ask the questions and learn. And I think that's the big benefit of, you know, having a global learning community is you can ask other people in your community. And, you know, some will be ahead of you on some issues, some will be behind. But together, if we all work together, we really build our muscle and our strength as a community and understand these issues.
It's, I was about to kind of like maybe double click into that, you know, last 20 years, like what made, in your opinion, the best professionalized teams or individuals?
Yeah.
I'm assuming the answer is also the community and like being curious, but, you know, yeah. Anything stood out from folks early in their career versus like late in their career, companies that were more mature than less mature, because there was so much change in the last even 10 years.
Yeah.
Right? You have all this experience, you know, what kind of stands out? What patterns did you see?
Well, look, what I see is, you know, and people that are drawn into our community, and I think we all need to be lifelong learners. So, you know, this in my world, there's sort of two groups of people. I mean, people who think they know everything and they seek the comfort of what they know. And there's those that go, hey, I know a lot of stuff, but I also know there's a lot more to learn. And they're the kind of people that we're working with in our community. So, you know, I think some of the best leaders I have seen have been extremely competent. And I mean, this would be part of my advice to young professionals. You know, speaking to an amazing guy, he'll be speaking at our Abu Dhabi roundtable next week. I was speaking to him yesterday and he's been recognized as a, you know, young leader of the year in that region. He's done a Bachelor of Supply Chain. He's done a Master of Supply Chain. But then he's also getting out and he's learning from his peers and he's staying across the latest thing. So he's not standing still based on his, you know, bachelor and master's degree. He's keep on learning. I think that's what we've all got to do, is make sure we stay in the flow of business, because if you don't, you're going to be left behind very quickly.
Especially these days.
Exactly. You could get away with it 20 years ago. Nothing had changed much.
Exactly. Yeah. Once a decade, something changed. Now it's once a year, if not more. Yeah. Well,
hey, once a week, baby.
Exactly. Maybe we can come back here kind of at the end to your career. And, you know, I think the amazing sort of like first part of it in marketing, and then the second part of it of an entrepreneur, and, you know, in the area of procurement, entrepreneurship is a very, very hard job for anyone who've experienced it. How do you think back at this decision? What kind of made you do the jump?
Well, I think for me, I didn't know at the time, but if you are born into a family that has small businesses, you have a high propensity to do this because you think that it's normal. So I think, you know, I joke with people, I come from a long line of unsuccessful business owners. So I grew up in that sort of environment. But look, I encourage women particularly to stay in large corporates because I really think we're all going to benefit from having more women represented in senior leadership. And the only way we're going to do that is by women staying within corporates. I also think that, you know, corporates are the best place to learn because everyone's coming to you with the ideas and the large corporates train people. So I actually encourage people to stay in large companies because you're right. Being an entrepreneur is very difficult. And yeah, it's tough. It's definitely tough, but extremely rewarding. And also I've been able to really, you know, shape my personal and business life to my agenda. So that's the big plus. But I say to most people, stay in large corporates because, you know, because I'm a lifelong learner, I feel that you learn a lot in large companies. And, you know, when you've got your own business, you're the one who's really having to drive the learning and, you know, you need to get out there and make sure you're on top of things.
Yeah, it's a lot more pave the path versus, you know, master it. So maybe, you know, maybe that's a great place to, you know, last question, you know, I always like to ask, when you look back at it in this, you know, very, and again, congrats on your success so far, very impressive, moving through, you know, different industries and different, and have multiple businesses. What is kind of an advice that sticks with you from early age or early start of your career that you feel like it's worth paying forward?
Yeah. Well, actually, there were two pieces. My father once said to me, I came home and I had straight A's on my report card. And he said, is that the best you can do? And I said, Dad, it's all A's. He says, I don't care what it is, as long as it's the best you can do. So, you know, that's kind of set me up to always be striving for doing the best I can. But then my husband has had a great saying that I've, you know, he gave me probably 20 years ago. And he said, you are the only common denominator in your career. So, you know, bosses will come and go, but you're always going to be constant because it's quite easy in the start of your career to sort of say, oh, you know, I've got a bad boss or this happened or, you know, you can blame everyone else. But at the end of the day, your development is up to you. And I think that's sort of at the heart of why we develop Procurious is because we're here. People can learn on our platform for free, you know, blogs, webcasts. We do have, you know, a corporate membership as well that has 80 learning events a year. But there's so much you can learn on Procurious just by yourself. So I guess that's my key thing. You're the common denominator in your career, so take accountability and go for it.
I could not agree more. I could not agree more as an individual, as, you know, an entrepreneur, as a father. It's like this is a perfect statement, and both of them are very aligned too. You know, you're the common denominator, but did you do your best? Because you're in control, and have you done your best? So don't blame anyone else if you haven't. I love it. It's perfect.
Thank you.
I thank you so much. If people want to follow up, you know, just nerd about some of those topics or, you know, trying to connect, are you on LinkedIn? Are you on X? Where can they find you?
Yeah. Oh, and, you know, on Procurious. So,
perfect.
Still come easy. And I think, you know, for all your people in operations, if you haven't heard from your procurement business partner for a while, give them a call, catch up face to face. See what you can do together.
There you go. Very good. Be curious.
Excellent. Procurious. Yeah, be curious.
Yeah. Very good. Tanya, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Lovely meeting you.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of Modern Business Operations. You can see the show notes and all of the resources mentioned on today's episode at tonkin.com/mbopod. Thank you for listening. And be sure to subscribe for updates on future episodes. And if you're interested in staying up to date on the latest in business operations technology, head over to tonkin.com.